that I could do no wrong, that I would keep getting faster, that there was nothing in between me and the track. I was just flowing and in the moment. Man, what a feeling. And I mean it in all seriousness. I'm going to take that feeling to the grave. And someone's probably going to talk about it at my funeral.
I really hope it's Scott and I, yeah. AGW.
Oh, my God. That means you guys would outlive me.
Exactly. And you just did the math. Welcome to the Trailhead of Trail Runner Nation, where we go on virtual trail runs with fun people that inspire us and teach us, get us out there so that we can have fun. If this is your first time joining, we hope that you have a good training run with us and hope you learn something and enjoy your experience out here on the trail. Scott, there are times that we have very structured podcasts and we invite very smart people on and talk about very sophisticated things, but this isn't one of them. We get together like three running friends and we're going down the trail and we're just throwing around and smack talking and having fun. So kick your shoes off or lace them up and hang out for an hour with us while we just talk trail running.
This episode is entitled Spin the Bottle. Think about it. Hey, Don, I have a riddle for you. What runs on innovation and walks all over convention?
Well, I've got to say Path Projects, Scott.
Of course.
We're going to start this podcast like we start our runs by climbing into a pair of Path Projects.
That independent suspension of the shorts and the baseliners. I think they're the first ones to do that. And boy, are they the best ones to do that.
They provide the most innovative fabrics and the highest performance material. Not only that, they feel good and look good too.
And we love their business model, which is direct to consumer. So you're getting the most value. There's not a middleman that's taking a markup. They're making sure that they bring these high quality fabrics to you directly.
It's like owning your own running store. Have you ever thought about that, Scott? What it would be like to have your own store?
I'd have a lot of shoes.
You get a taste of it here with Path Projects. You get it at their cost.
Make sure you go check them out. If you haven't tried Path Projects, Don and I are telling you, you won't be disappointed. Go to pathprojects.com.
Hello, Trail Runner Nation. My name's Andy Jones Wilkins.
And I'm Don Freeman.
I'm Scott Warr. And I just want to go on the record right now that I don't think this episode's going to be very good.
Well, Scott, the confidence level here, I'm concerned with.
I will say that I text Don, and I know that Don's been in touch with Andy Jones Wilkins, who's our third person today, and they feel pretty confident that it's going to go over real well. But I just want to go on record that if it falls flat, I made the prediction.
Sounds like a guy who would drop at the first aid station.
Exactly. Or DNS.
We've had different variations of this game. And, you know, we've tried to list them before we started. We've played grab bag. We've played drop bag. We've played audio magazine. We come up with a term or a word and we make some stuff up about it and kick it around the table. Think on your feet and have some fun. And we've had a lot of good podcasts lately with some amazing guests that make us think a little bit. And we felt, you know what? It's time for an elective class. We've done enough physiology, and it's time to just kick back and have a little fun and get some extra credit.
So I bet you every single member of this listening audience, all six of you, at some point when you were younger, played that age-old game, Spin the Bottle.
Mm-hmm.
We all know Spin the Bottle. We love Spin the Bottle. And so we tonight are going to play a little Spin the Bottle. And Scott's going to explain how it works, and if he screws up the instructions, Don will correct him.
You already know my concern, because did you ever play Spin the Bottle where things turned out great? It always ends up being a train wreck. So that's where my concern starts, is by the name. What we're going to do is we each came with three words, and we've put those in the trusty hands of our show producer and editor, Ryan. And we don't know what the other two's words are. And then we are going to spin the bottle. You may hear a sound like this, that is the sound of a spinning bottle. And that will point to one of the nine words. If it's one of Don's words, then he picks either AJW or myself to use that word in a running related fashion? How does that word relate to running? How can we use it in a sentence, a story about that word? And then we go to the next person. And then finally, the person who chose that word then explains why that word means something to them. Did I explain that well enough, Don?
Yeah, well, that, you know, it sounded better than I had even imagined. And so I think that's what the version we should go with. Now Ryan is going to be the judge.
Oh, there's points in this game. I forgot. There are points going to be rewarded.
Yeah, that's right. And so Ryan is going to say, based on those three definitions, I give the best version to Scott or AJW or Don. And of course, we're keeping score because that's what we like to do, is be competitive on this podcast. Ryan, introduce yourself so we can get your voice as the producer and the gameskeeper, the host.
Hello, I'm Ryan, and let's get spinning the bottle.
Okay, here goes the bottle. We're going to spin the bottle.
All right, this word belongs to Don, and in great TRN fashion, it's cheating. It's two words.
He's already breaking the rules. We haven't even
started. It didn't take him long to break the rules.
I didn't know it was two words. I put them together.
It is aid station.
Nice. I'm going to assign that to AJW, aid station.
Aid station is where you go to get aid. It's sometimes saves your life, sometimes brings you back to life, and often is the home for a lot of friendly, supportive people who are going to make a difference in whether you finish the race or not.
Nice. I like that. Scott, what's your take on aid station?
You know, I don't think that I have ever left an aid station lower than when I came in. It's like, do you remember that little Hot Wheels track where the car would go around the track and do the loop-de-loops, and then it would hit the turbocharge, that little thing that had the little wheels and was battery-powered or something, and it would hit that and it would push the car really fast down the track and so it could make the next round? That's what I consider aid station. Aid stations are where you get recharged. And like I said, I don't think I've ever left an aid station in worse condition than when I went in.
I like that description, Scott. I also know what year you were born by using that as a reference. I don't think they had those in the later times.
They don't have
times.
The Hot Wheels tracks anymore?
They may, but I don't know if they have the supercharger station. But I thought aid station would be a cool word because I thought of it as a place of hope, a refuge. It's a place that indicates you have progress because as you map out your run, you think when I get to this aid station, it means I'm 25% through. And we kind of leapfrog down the trail, regardless of the distance, we use those as markers. And then I thought to myself, if they didn't have aid stations and you just had to run the full distance, and there was aid in your backpack or aid along the trail, it would be much more difficult to manage mentally. So aid stations, I think, are one of our tricks or tricks of the trade to allow us to accomplish these things that we do.
As I think about running ultra distances, there's a little bit of dichotomy. It's a very individual sport. You're out there on the trail. In most cases on the long runs, you're out there alone. But yet the aid stations is where the community can rally around and buoy you up. So we love this sport because of the community. But ironically, we spend a lot of time alone out on the trails. So the aid station is that gathering place.
Well, that's good. Scott got a chance to come in twice, AJW, and you're sitting there like a gentleman, just kind of letting him pile on.
I'm lobbying for the points. Yeah. I'm going for the points.
Well, I'm a simple man. You know, I'm the head of a Quaker school. I think I said it like it is, and I think I should probably win.
All right, very
the
good.
Points for this one.
Point so awarded.
Time to move on to the next word.
Yeah. We don't know. Ryan hasn't awarded the points. You can't award points, Freeman.
All right.
Well, Ryan might, he can choose whether he keeps the points added up in his head or if he tells right now, but, you know, his call. He can either spin the bottle or award the points.
I will award the points right now. I am a quite bit younger than you guys, but I still remember playing with the Hot Wheels and having that turbo boost that would just shoot him down the track. And I think that's a good analogy for an aid station. So point goes to Scott.
All right.
Only got 1 point?
Yeah, well, yeah, your level of difficulty thing's a bit too sophisticated for this format.
Yeah, that degree of difficulty was pretty low. All right, let's spin that sucker.
All right, here we go. Here goes the bottle.
All right, the next word belongs to AJW. It is apathy.
Apathy.
Apathy. I'm sending this one right down to war.
Crap. I always get mixed up between apathy and empathy. Headmaster, can you give me a little bit of, can you use the word in a sentence, please?
There you go. Perfect. I love that.
What is the origin?
Does it begin with an A or an E?
I could spell it.
The students showed tremendous apathy when they didn't even show up for the pep rally.
Oh.
You know, I still don't know the word, meaning because I get mixed up. I would think that it is the attitude that you take to the sport and to what other people think of the sport. And can I reserve my right to add later?
Yeah, you used such little time and offered so very little on that. I think in fairness, you should get a chance to
I need to
stack.
Think about this for a minute.
So apathy is bringing enthusiasm to your activity.
And I
think that signing up for a race that makes, it's not even how you use the word, it's not the word. Hey, let me go with the way I've defined it, okay?
Andy's shaking his head and laughing. He's thinking, what kind of idiots am I doing a podcast with that don't even understand the meaning of the word apathy?
Hey, 50% of the people out there are looking it up right now. Scott doesn't know it. Don doesn't know it. Maybe I don't know it.
Apathy, lack of interest, enthusiasm, right. or concern.
That's right. So that's how I'm...
Lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern.
That's where I was going. So you need to find an event or a race that provides exhilaration and excitement so that you can lean in, not even set your alarm clock for the morning of the race because you're so excited about doing it. That's the way I'm going to define this. Find something that gets you excited. Don't sign up for something that you're feeling just lukewarm about. Find a race or an event or a training run that you just can't wait to do.
Scott, do you want to try a recovery?
Well, we want to further embarrass ourselves, Scott?
I would say apathy. Does apathy play into training versus having a race out there or an A goal and using that to fuel the passion or fuel the training? Is that what you're thinking about, Andy?
Going in that direction, one of the things I've observed, especially in the last 2 years at, you know, a dozen or so ultras I've been at, is that a lot of the we've seen a higher amount of dropouts in races, and we've seen even a larger number of people dropping out before they even start. And I think apathy, lack of interest, lack of caring, can come from two different places. On the one hand, it can come from, oh, I'm just not motivated to do this anymore. But on the other hand, it can come from something kind of deeper, like a sense of purpose that might have motivated people from the beginning and doesn't motivate them by the time they get to mile 60, mile 70, and mile 80. And so the reason I bring this word in is one of the concerns I have about the current state of the sport is that there is a fair bit of apathy in the sport. And people care about certain things a lot and don't care about other things at all. And I remember a bumper sticker that a friend of mine I used to work with had. It said, apathy, the disease no one cares about.
Ah.
and I think that there's something about being apathetic that can be the opposite of empathetic, which is something you guys brought up, or sympathetic. So they all, of course, they all have the same roots. But apathy means that you're without any of that care and concern, whereas empathy and sympathy are much more with that concern or putting yourself in another person's shoes or doing something, you know. And oftentimes, I remember being at an aid station at Grindstone a couple of years ago, and I was trying to be empathetic with a guy who was just about ready to drop at mile 38. And he was being completely apathetic. And he was like, I don't care about being here anymore. I just want to go home and go to sleep. And I don't even know why I signed up for this race. And so that's why I brought this word into the mix.
Good.
Andy, as a coach, can you coach someone out of being apathetic?
I think what you need to do is coach them into not being apathetic in the first place.
Okay.
Because I think once someone loses interest or loses concern or loses motivation, they probably need to hit a reset.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I might be talking to an athlete and like, oh man, you know what? I'm just not motivated for my training right now. And I might just say, well, you know, how about you take a break? How about you, you know, just chill and run however you feel for the next couple of weeks and see if the fire comes back. And maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. But I think once you go down the road of, I don't care about this, just tell me what's the classic high school version is, just tell me what's going to be on the test. I don't need to sit in this class, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that we see happen a lot in this sport, and particularly over the last couple of years of the pandemic. It's like, why am I even here? And I worry about that. So that's why I think it's something worth discussing. And something, Scott, that I still want to remind you, you need to sign up for a race.
I know. I have some apathy towards racing.
You do have apathy towards racing. And of course, neither of us want you to sign up for a race until you're emotionally engaged. Mm-hmm. But being emotionally unengaged, is not your best look.
You know, that's a good question. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? So maybe I need to, maybe I need to sign up and that will break the apathy.
It might.
I think the frying pan came first before the chicken or the egg. Let's get this game rolling. Let's spin the bottle and let's move to word three.
You're forgetting about the points, Freeman.
I think that one is silently counted. I think we found out what happened there.
Ryan needs to award points.
All right, Ryan, go ahead.
While I do think that a lesson from AJW is worth more than any point I can give to you two, AJW actually knew the word and he earned it. I like the quote, apathy, the disease nobody cares about.
Well, you can award points to your own word, okay? All right.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That's
you
a good twist. You
can.
I didn't know.
All right, you ready for the bottle?
Spin that sucker.
There you go. I'm starting to think the spinner goes alphabetically. Aid station, apathy.
All right, so this word I had to look up. I thought it was initially a typo, but it is perseverate, and it belongs to Scott.
That is the word, perseverate. Mm. You even pronounced it right, I think. I'm going to shoot this one to Don first because I don't think he knows what the word means.
Oh, you is that what you think?
Perseverate.
Did you ever play the game Boulder Dash?
Yes.
Look it up.
Love
it. It's a fun game. And perseverate, I think that is actually part of that game. And it's the very moment when the blister erupts. You feel it in the shoe. You know it's about to go. You're not certain, but it's the eruption or explosion of a blister.
Nope.
Okay, AJW, this point could be yours.
That was a great guess, though. And Andy, I saw your eyes going back and forth. Were you Googling the word, or did you actually know what it is?
I was not. I mean, this is just continuing to go. Even you perseverate, even when the chips are down, when you're feeling incredibly apathetic, you forge on, you forge through, you break through the wall, you perseverate.
It's a form of the word persevere, but it's perseverate. And the correct definition is continuing a habit after the cessation or secession of the original stimulus. So originally you were motivated and you were ready to do it. But once that original stimulus falls by the wayside, you continue to perform, perseverate. And that's something that I need to get better at. That once I have moments of motivation where I go strong and hard, and once that original stimulus starts to disappear or dissipate, I have a tough time continuing with the good habit that I've started. That's why I loved Atomic Habits, the book that we did a podcast about a while ago.
It reminds me of that video now, several years old, of Don sitting on the rock at the 200-mile race. Wow. I can't remember which one it was, but as he was reflecting on, what he was going to do next, ultimately, he forged on. I mean, I think we all admire that, and that was a really good example of perseverating.
Yeah, perseverating. Mm-hmm. The verb form. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So it's not a blister erupting.
No.
Although that was a nice image.
Who gets the points on that one, Rye?
I'm just impressed that AJW is kind of able to figure out what the word meant and that he knew it. That's better than any of us. I'm going to give half point to Scott for picking a creative, albeit lame, word, and half point to AJW for figuring it out.
Oh. Half a point.
There's fractions in this tournament.
All right, here we go. Spin the bottle.
All right, this next word also belongs to Scott. It is wander.
Oh. What the heck?
Wander. Since I picked you first, Don, I'm going to go to Andy on this one. Wander.
Immediately, what comes to mind is that old adage, you know, not all who wander are lost. And I think this word reminds us that sometimes just wandering, the wander is a word that implies a lack of direction, a lack of focus. You're just kind of out there seeing what the world brings. And we do that sometimes in running. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, we had Courtney DeWalter on the podcast, and she talked about, you know, some days I leave the house and I go left, and other days I leave the house and I go right, and maybe I go 10 miles, maybe I go 12 miles, maybe I go 30 miles, and she wanders. And I think wandering is something we do a lot as children. And then as we get older and get into adulthood, we wander less. And I think we could all wander a little bit more. So I have a feeling, Scott, you put this in there because of that desire we all have, that sort of inner voice to wander, to have wanderlust, as the you know, the German word. To get out there, explore the world, and open ourselves up to new things. And we could all use a little bit more wandering in our life.
All right, Don?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to follow up when you're just so convinced that what you just heard was spot on. But I am going to put this out there. A lot of times when things get tough out there on the trail, and you're focused on that blister, or you're focused on just the negative chatter that just keeps pulling around the conversation in your head, you need to wander. You need to get away from that thought. You need to explore ways to ignore the negative chatter and move into something more positive. And so allowing yourself the freedom and permission to let your thoughts wander is a very important theme and a strategy to get things done.
That was also a very good definition there, Don. I like that. The idea that comes to my mind when I think about wandering is a lot of times when we go out there for our daily training run or our weekend training run, we put so many parameters behind it. If we're training for something, it has some specificity. I need to do so many vertical feet, or I need to do so many miles, or I need to do so many hours, or I need to do downhills, or I need to do some speed repeats or some fartleks. And we put so many parameters around it. And the opposite of that is just going out without any deadlines. Like, I need to be back in 3 hours or 4 hours. I need to make the soccer game, or I need to make dinner tonight or whatever. And there's some freedom that I love about going out to a trail that I've never known, or going down a trail I know real well, and instead of taking the normal route, give myself permission to wander and take the left turn that I don't even know where it goes, and to experience a part of the trail that I've never experienced because I don't have those restrictions placed on me. And that's one of the things that I have really, really enjoyed over the last couple of years of being in COVID. Is just going out and wandering and exploring. There's some trails that I've run, you know, in the last couple of years that have become some of my favorites. And the way I found them is just by going out and wandering. So that's my word.
I like it. I think there was 3 strikes in a row there. I think those were good.
Man, Scott, you crushed that one. And I'm sorry I blamed you for being apathetic, because that was a very non-apathetic response. So, I mean, and I mean, all joking aside, maybe, I mean, if that's what motivates you, if that's where the passion is, maybe why bother pinning a bib on, right?
Well, and it comes back to, I think that's the reason is races are very structured. You have to follow the ribbons. You have to hit the aid stations. There's cutoff times. There's all of that structure behind a race. And I'm kind of done with that, and I, for the time being. And I really just enjoy going out. And if I want to stop and look at the river down below me, I'm going to stop and I'm going to take some pictures and I'm going to, you know, have a payday bar, right? So I'm wandering.
I'm not surprised of the attitude with a man with a beard like that. Whiskers wandering. He's just free to express himself any way he wants.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to retract the pressure of signing up for a race. I think you're going to, I think you'll sign up for a race when you're ready. And in the meantime, you'll just keep wandering.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to create a race called the Wander 50 Miler.
Maybe that's what it is.
And you just have to come back with 50 miles on your watch. I don't care where you go
or how long it takes.
Just come back with 50.
We know Don doesn't care how long it takes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I do because I want the slowest known time. All right.
Who gets points on that one, Ryan?
I think everyone kind of knocked this one out of the park, made it kind of hard to judge. But I liked what Don said about giving yourself permission to look away from what your tunnel vision, Don, and explore different options.
Ah, how many points does he get?
Full point? I'm lobbying.
Don, you get a gold star.
Not even, okay, so it's so the score at this point is one gold star, two actual points. All right, I'll take it.
All right, here we go.
Spin that bottle.
All right, this word belongs to AJW. It is passion.
Who you choosing, AJW? Who would you like to take first stab at passion?
Don, I'm going to start with you.
Good. Well, I appreciate that. There are times in our sport, and I'm going to talk a little bit about community, that you can't always have your hydration packed with passion. Sometimes we need to lean on one another. And I know there's been many a times that I didn't want to go out or I didn't want to finish the long run or it became possible because the running partner I was with had his or her passion packed. And so I'm really, I really like that word, and it means community to me, and passion is what makes finishes happen. So there's my stab.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Scott?
So when I think of passion, I think of Matt Lambert. Andy, do you know Matt Lambert?
Yep, I do. Yep, I do.
He lives up in Auburn, and yeah. I don't ever remember ever seeing him at a race. I'm sure he races, but I see him out on the trail a lot, and we bump into each other, and the guy exudes passion for the trail. And I'm always motivated and feel better after talking to him. Sometimes when I'm out there running, and we'll just talk. First of all, when you see him, it's all smiles. He has a grin that goes ear to ear, and he's just always happy, and he's smiling, and he's laughing, and he loves what he's doing when he's out there on the trail. But he also, I've noticed, and he set an example for me the other day when we were stopped and we're talking about something, and he goes over to the side of the trail and he picks up a wrapper and he puts it in his pocket. Just some trash that he found. And I thought, there's a guy that has passion for the trail. He enjoys being out there. He respects it and he wants to make it enjoyable so that people can enjoy it themselves. And cleans it up. That's the kind of passion that I think. That's what I think of. I think of Matt Lambert as my definition of passion.
That's both of those. Both of those are fantastic. And you know, part of the reason I chose this word as almost an opposite of apathy is that both of those things, apathy and passion, are contagious. And I think when you're around someone like Matt Lambert or any number of people that all we could run down a long list of people who are passionate about this sport, passionate about the trail, passionate. I mean, who you have to be passionate about something you're going to spend 6, 8, 12, 24, 30 hours doing. If you don't have passion for it, then you're probably not going to do it, or you're going to at least come into the sport for a little while and leave. And so it requires a passionate sort of connection to it, a connection to what you're doing, obviously where you're doing it, and I think most of all, who you're doing it with. And those three things really make and define this trail running nation more than any other. I mean, certainly we have passionate athletes in other sports. There's no doubt about it. But when you see a passionate athlete in long distance trail running, I mean, they just ooze it. And you want to be that person. I mean, we've seen it happen in the last 10 years with social media and videos and everything else, right? You know, the formerly sort of secret passionate nature of it, where you had to, you know where the group was going and what they were running and what they were doing. Now the passion is just infectious and contagious. And I love that about the sport. And so while there are certainly, there's a certain amount of apathy in the sport, there is definitely passion in it. And as we're emerging from the pandemic and we're continuing to, you know, celebrate the community of trail running, I think the passion that you see in the people, both the runners and the volunteers and the race directors. And, you know, I was on a call, and I know I'm going long here, but I was on a call a couple of weeks ago with all the aid station captains and other leaders at Western States. You know, this was at the last weekend in January, and they have an hour and a half meeting to talk about the race. And every single person was on the call. Right. And they were talking about the trail maintenance they're going to do and little changes with the aid stations and little changes with the, you know, what they're going to do for COVID and everything. I mean, that's passion in the middle of January for a race that 6 months later, you know, 40 people stopped their lives on a random Sunday to be there and have a meeting to talk about this event that is like is in all of our blood. I think there's something to be said for that.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because another person that I think of passion, that has passion and specifically passion for Western States, is Andy Jones Wilkins. You if you want to get Andy to start talking and see him start dancing around and using his hands and making gestures, just say, Andy, tell me a little bit about Western States. And, you know, it just goes on. So Andy has passion for Western States. Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that. Let's spin that bottle.
Well, we've got to, it's time for points.
I keep forgetting the points.
The points don't matter.
That's right. The points don't matter. But I do think AJW stated it very well by saying that passion is contagious.
Yeah.
Is that a full point, or did he earn a star for that? Because there's only one star been awarded at this point.
The gold star is just for you, Don. Just for you. Let's spin the next bottle.
All right. Here we go. Bottle.
All right. This word also belongs to Don.
Oh, good.
And it also does not follow the rules. It's not a word.
Whose idea was it to have Ryan conduct?
And whose idea was it to have Don make the rules and then not follow them?
This is a year, 2005.
Oh, he did put it out there. He did put it out there.
Of course we did. And everybody that's listened to any podcast with AJW, we work this in occasionally like 90% of the time. I'm going to give it first to Scott.
Well, it's obvious what we're talking about, 2005. If you go back and listen to the dozen plus episodes that Andy's been on over the last 11 years, every single episode, at some point, the year 2005 comes into play, which is probably the best race that he's had at Western States, where he finished second place and just had the race of his life. And that's what we think about when we say 2005. I don't remember what happened to me in the year of 2005, because it's been overshadowed by Andy's race at Western States.
I can't even pick up a coin that says 2005 without thinking of Western States. AJW?
One of my sons a couple of years ago said to me, hey, you know, Dad, you know how anytime you're talking to someone who went to Harvard and it, within like 60 seconds, they tell you they went to Harvard? Well, when someone's talking to you, within 60 seconds, you're going to talk about 2005 Western States. It's like my version of having gone to Harvard. I didn't go to Harvard. Far from it. But thank you for choosing that number. It's listeners, we joked about it at the beginning. I was like, oh, thank God, no one's going to be able to pick 2005. But Scott's right. It was a great race for me. It's now 17 years ago. And the thing I remember most about that year that I ran Western States is that it felt like the race, I wasn't making the race happen. It felt like the race was happening to me. And looking at it now, 17 years later, I mean, I cannot think of a single other experience in my life where I felt like I was completely in the zone, was completely in the flow, and that nothing was going to happen bad in that moment. And as I've said for 17 years, I hope, I wish, I tell this to Western States runners every year, that if everybody could just feel that Andy Jones Wilkins 2005 feeling just once, because I only felt it once. I ran the race nine other times, but I only felt that 2005 feeling once, and it was gone. But it's always, it's in my mind, it's in my heart, and obviously you guys drag it out every time I come on the podcast. So, but it was just amazing. And my wish for everybody listening and is if you, whatever your version of that 2005 feeling that I had, that I could do no wrong, that I would keep getting faster, that there was nothing in between me and the track. I was just flowing and in the moment. Man, what a feeling. And I mean it in all seriousness. I'm going to take that feeling to the grave. And someone's probably going to talk about it at my funeral.
I really hope it's Scott and I, AJW.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That means you guys would outlive me.
You just did the math. So it was a perfect segue, and it's going to take me very little to finish up on my word, is that we have to sign up to get our 2005. And it doesn't have to be a race. It can be an organized trail run. It can be anything that you decide, but you have to get out the door to make it happen. And your 2005 wouldn't have happened unless you started. And I just encourage all of us to take a chance, go do something that's a little bit scary and put your mind to it and have confidence to get it done. So there's my follow-up.
All right, Ryan.
How many points and who gets them?
I'm sure it's no surprise that those points go to AJW.
Did he get 2,005 points?
2,005 points for AJW.
Did he get a star?
No, the stars are just for you, Don. Just for you.
Scott, I never get tired of hearing AJW talk about 2,005, just like I never get tired of pulling on a pair of Jonjis.
Jonji makes great running apparel for men and women. And I've been seeing on my Instagram, I don't know how they know me, but boy, do they pinpoint me on Instagram. They have a new pant called the Transit Tech Pant. It has a ton of five-star reviews on their website, jonji.com, and they have a lot of different colors. You want to be bright, you can be bright. You want to be subtle, you can be subtle. But it looks like it's a pant that you can wear in all conditions. You could take it running and then transition, maybe go to brunch.
You know, I notice whether I'm on the trail or off the trail, I can reach for a pair of Jonji shorts or jacket, and it just fits with whatever I'm doing. You don't have to just run the trail with it.
They have bottoms, they have tops, they have outerwear and accessories. You can get 15% off with the code TRN15 at jonji.com. Or you can go to our deals page and click on the banner there.
Let's spin that bottle.
All right, this next word belongs to Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Breakthrough.
Ah, ooh. Breakthrough. Let's see. I think it's Don's turn on this one. Breakthrough.
I you know, that's an easy one for me. And to remind people that we're coming cold with these. We have no idea what each other's words were. It's not like we had taken notes that I'm going to get breakthrough. But I think you picked a perfect word, Scott, because it's really about having faith that the work you're putting in is going to take you to the destination that you want to arrive at. And if you just keep making donations into your fitness account, or your strength account, or to your mental training account, whatever account you make deposits in is going to show up. And it will be invisible for a while, but all of a sudden, it's going to show up. And that's the greatest feeling ever, is when you reach an account balance that makes you happy.
Good.
I think so much in this sport, especially if we're training for something, you know, a big event that we've been training for 6-9 months, we spend so much time on the edge. On the edge of maybe being overtrained, or on the edge of being injured, or on the edge of being burnt out. And if you play your cards right, if you get it just right at the right time, you break through that. You break through that feeling of maybe being burnt out or overtrained, or maybe pushing the edge of your fitness. And once you break through, it's liberating. And it becomes a part of who you are, and it becomes part of your body of experience that you can take into not only your next race, but into the rest of your life. You can say, hey, I had a breakthrough in my training for this race. I can have a breakthrough in my job. I can have a breakthrough with my family. I can have a breakthrough in something I've been working on because I've been able to do that in this one part of my life. And I think that's a tremendous gift that long distance trail running gives us, is that opportunity to see breakthroughs and experience breakthroughs and learn how much they can mean to us, not just as runners, but as people.
I can call back to my first breakthrough that I can at least recall of trail running, where I hit a fitness level that I hadn't achieved before. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was running on the trail was always work and it was hard and it was running and I was trying to get in shape. But all of a sudden, I felt like I was riding a horse. I just felt like I was going through the, I was in the flow, I was in the movement. It wasn't hard. I was enjoying the scenery. And I thought, this isn't any more effort than riding on a horse, and I'm just traveling along. And I still to this day, I remember that moment and that feeling of, wow, I just got in shape. And it took a lot of miles to get there, and it took some faith that it would happen. I was just hoping it would get easier, because who could like this? And all of a sudden it was, whoa, so this is fitness. And it goes away. If you don't stay on top of it, you fall off your horse. And so it, once you get it, it's not a guarantee that you get to enjoy it. But you, once you're there, you try to keep it. But that's the destination for me. And I love that breakthrough. Good, Scott.
So when I was thinking of this word breakthrough, there's a few principles of breakthrough. One, you cannot ever plan a breakthrough. It's always going to be a surprise to you, right? Hmm. That's one of the definitions of breakthrough, is it's going to be a surprise. You cannot plan for it. And the other thing is in endurance sports, if you're just getting into this sport, it takes Don's analogy of the puddle of water, and you're taking scoopfuls, shovelfuls of sand and throwing it into that puddle of water. And it doesn't look like it's being filled up until it finally does. And I think back of one of the first breakthroughs that I had as I was just getting into the sport. I was doing 3 miles a day. And I will tell you, the first long time of running 3 miles, I couldn't do it without walking. And this is on flat pavement. And I got to the point where I could run 3 miles a day, and I was doing it 5 days a week. And it was still work. It was hard. But one Saturday, I decided that I was going to go out and run 10 miles. I'd never run 10 miles in my life, but I was going to do it with a Jeff Galloway method. If you don't know who Jeff Galloway is, Google him. You should. He was one of the guys who came up with the idea of the walk run, and his formula was run for a mile, walk for a minute, run for a mile, walk for a minute. I thought, I'm going to go try to run 10 miles today, and I'm going to prescribe that. And I went out, furthest I had ever run prior to that was 3 miles, and I ran 10 miles that day. And here's the breakthrough. When I got home, I thought, I just ran 10 miles and I'm not tired. And I thought, that was a huge breakthrough. It was a surprise. I was thinking it was going to be a miserable day for me, but it was a breakthrough. And that's the point, the first breakthrough that I had that made me think, maybe I can be a runner. Maybe I can go for that half marathon or that marathon or 50K. And that was physically a breakthrough, and mentally and psychologically a huge breakthrough for me. And I will say, even though it's a surprise, if you put in the consistent work, you're guaranteed to have the breakthrough. So you don't know when, you cannot plan for it. It's going to be a surprise, but if you put in the work, it's going to come. That's breakthrough to me.
I'm going to jump it. You got to give Scott, you got those points. Scott gets 2 gold stars for that.
I mean, that's 2005.
How can you compete with the 10 miles Galloway run walk method? I mean, you pulled out all the stops on that one, buddy. You get 2 gold stars.
What does the judge say? Hey, Ryan, did I get anything for that?
Yeah, totally. I think you deserve it. It's cool that you mentioned that a breakthrough is not just one singular moment that happens and then it's done. It's something that you can work towards and have as a goal. And then afterwards, it's an accomplishment that you can look back on and learn from.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, before we get to that next word, do we have any type of score? Do you have tally marks or anything?
I am keeping track of the score. AJW is in the lead right now. And if the listeners have their score sheets out at home, they'll know why.
And just not to be too influential here, but I don't think I have any true points yet.
He just has a star.
No, I have a star. Alec has a star.
We'll see later if you can earn any actual points. Let's spin the bottle.
Okay.
All right. This next word belongs to AJW. Mm. It is failure.
Ooh.
Oh, this is easy, Don.
I love you too, AJW. You know, AJW, I'm not surprised that you came up with the word failure, because as a teacher, you're certainly aware and witness to many students learning very difficult lessons, and you have to firsthand watch failure, manage failure, and teach them that failure is a great teacher and a great way to learn a lesson. And sometimes the most important lessons require stumbling and tripping and not doing as well as you had intended. So I think failure is a great teacher, and one that we should not look as a something negative in our sport. Embrace it, learn from it. And if you don't have a reason, if you don't have something you learned that you can attach to that failure, then it is a failure. But if you can say, this happened to me and I learned this, then it never sits on your shoulders as a failure. Make sure you have a lesson attached so you don't have to carry failure, but you can grow from it.
Awesome. Scott?
Well, here's what I think. When I'm think of failure and my running, everything that I have learned about running came from a failure.
Mm.
I learned how to treat blisters because I get blisters. I know how to fuel, or at least most of the time, I know how to fuel my body because I've sat at the edge of a trail on a hot day, a half mile to the finish, thinking I'm not going to make it to my truck to get home because I can't move anymore. That was a failure, but I learned something from it. I think that we all learn from our failures. Going out and performing some of the crazy distances or going to that next distance that is unknown for you, you may fail. But the best thing that comes of that is the next time you'll be better. And so I don't think that even a baby learns to walk or a toddler learns to walk without falling. I don't think there's ever been a toddler that has learned to walk without falling. It always entails failure.
Mm, good.
Oh, man, those are good, guys. You know, for 11 years, from time to time, you guys have had me on the podcast. And the greatest gift you've given me in those 11 years is after my first failure in ultra running, which was this past June at the World's End Ultra. I DNF'd. And we shortly thereafter got in touch with one another, and we got together and did a podcast within 48 hours of that DNF. And part of the wisdom that you brought to that was that you wanted the fresh, raw Andy Jones Wilkins, who had just DNF'd his first ultra in, you know, his whole ultra running career. And it was so meaningful for me to be on that podcast, for you guys to ask me the questions, for us to, I think we called it an autopsy of a DNF or something like that, to really pick the pieces apart. Because I had run 100-something ultras before that and never failed. I mean, I had had disappointing races. I'd had successful races, but I'd never not made it to the finish line. And all of a sudden, I had done that. And it became so, so meaningful to talk with you about it, to reflect on it afterwards, to think about what it means to learn from failure, to understand what it means to fail. You're right, Don. As a teacher and an educator, I see children and students learning from failure all the time. And Scott, you're right. You know, failure can be a motivator and it can be something that changes our lives. But at the end of the day, if you sit with it and if you reflect on it, and if you got like what you did, you guys kind of forced me to talk about it and asked me hard questions like, what could have you done differently? What could have you done better? You know, why did this happen this time and not some other time? I think all of those kinds of questions, all of that kind of reasoning is so important in running and in life. And if we don't fail, we're not going to ultimately succeed. You know, 2 weeks later, I successfully finished a 100-miler. It was, you know, it was great. It was fun. It was out in Scott's home state of Wyoming, and we had I had a great time out there. You know, but I probably wouldn't have even run that race as well, Bighorn, if I hadn't had the cautionary reminder that, you know, once in a while, it's not your day. And sometimes when it's not your day, you're going to learn more from it than when it is your day. So that's a gift you've given me. And it's I'm kind of glad this word came up after apathy and passion, because really apathy, passion, and failure, those are three things we can all learn from. So thank you, guys.
You know, that was one of my favorite episodes because it was fairly raw. I don't think that you had taken a shower yet.
Oh.
you still had the smell of the trail on you. But here's something that I love about this sport. And it was reminded as you were talking, Andy, and also a couple of the people that we've talked to recently, Davy Crockett, who has 100 and I think 8 100 milers under his belt now. And Eric Clifton, who dominated the sport back in the 90s. And we asked both of them the question, do you have it figured out? And they both laughed and they said, no, we still don't have it figured out. That failure is not something that you can avoid with experience. It may not come as frequent, but you're always apt to have failure. And if you position it right in your mind, that it's not a negative, but it's something that is going to teach you a lesson, I think that it's a good thing to have in your life.
Mm-hmm. I think it's difficult to figure it out because it's a moving target. The trail changes, you change, the environment changes, the distance can change. There's so many variables that it's very tough to figure it out. We're not the same person every single race. There's emotional things that may be weighing us down. There are a number of things that can be a factor, so it's tough to figure out.
Good deal. What do you think, Ryan?
Boy, you guys are making it difficult.
Oh, well look for the guy without any points, okay?
You can't beg for points, Freeman.
Well, it's getting to the end, and I don't have any yet.
You're going to lobby for points?
I think you guys all did a great job on it, and thank you to AJW for being vulnerable about your experience. I do think Don summed it up perfectly, though, by saying that a failure is only a failure if you learn nothing from it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm happy
that?
To share. Yeah.
Did you say that?
He basically said it. I might be paraphrasing a little bit.
Go back and listen to the podcast, Scott. Hey, but I'm happy to split it three ways because it is a point. A fraction is a point. So, you know, I respect my co-host here for having some great, great takes on it. So I'm
just say thank you
point.
And take the point, Freeman.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Spinning the bottle. Do we just only have one word left? I don't think
we need to spin the bottle since it's just one last word. This is Don's word.
Mm.
It is confidence.
Confidence. I'm going to give that to AJW. I gave to Scott 2005. So I'm going to go with AJW this time. Confidence.
Well, I'm glad you picked one word, and it's not a number.
Hey, it took him three tries, but he finally got it.
So you're 1 for 3 for following the rules. So let's give him a third of a point for following the rules. I mean, confidence is so fleeting in this sport, right? I mean, I think this is something that there's a fine line between confidence and cockiness. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a fine line between thinking you've got it all figured out, as Eric and Davey have talked about on the podcast before. You know, if you've been in the sport long enough, you have confidence. It's like, okay, I've run this race. I know how to do it. I know I have to eat and drink and, you know, change my socks or whatever. But you never really completely know you've got it totally dialed in. I mean, I remember the story of Hal Koerner. He won Western States twice in 2007, 2009. And one of the great confident stories of the Hal Koerner legend is he was at the, you check in at Western States and then you go kind of through and you get your t-shirts and all this. And you get to a point I think it was Kara Tuklinski who was doing the interview, and they just ask you some questions. You know, are you using a pack? Are you going to have a pacer? What shoes are you wearing? They do a little kind of, they interview you to do a little market research. And they went through, you know, the shoes, pack, are you going to have a crew? Are you going to have a pacer? And are you going to have a headlamp? And he paused and he looked at Kara and said, no headlamp. I distinctly remember hearing that story. Like, he did not even come to the race with a headlamp. He knew he was either going to finish before it was dark or not finish. That's confidence. I mean, come on. I never went to Western States without a headlamp. Now, of course, you know, there's like five guys who finish without headlamps these days. But, you know, it was kind of a seminal moment. Like, that's confidence.
May I ask you this, Scott? I know you have. Do you think Hal said that to get in the head of some of his competitors? That would be a perfect worm to get into the lead guys out there.
I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, you know, when you think about the context, 2009, there had been a fire the year before, so the race had been canceled. He won in 2007. It had been a whole 24 months before since the previous race. Lots of stuff had happened. Jeff Rose was on the scene now, things like that. I mean, there was a lot going on in the moment. He might have done that, but he also might have been like, nope, you know what? I'm either gonna finish or drop. Either way, I'm not going to need a headlamp.
Good. Scott, to you.
This is what I think of confidence. Confidence comes from experience, but it can also come from someone else's experience. And again, just because it was recent, we were talking to Eric Clifton, and one of the first races that he DNF'd, he thought he was going to die. I think he said he got really sick to his stomach, and he thought, I can't continue because I'm gonna die. And later he figured out that just happens in an ultra. And that experience gave him confidence. The next time he felt like that, he goes, I'm not going to die. I know I'm not going to die. I have already done that. And I think that we can gain confidence from other people as we run with other people or the coaches that we have or the mentors that we have, where we can learn from them and have confidence so that if you go into a low spot or you have blisters, that is not the end. You can have confidence that you can overcome and you can endure. I think of maybe the first time someone ever ran 100 miles, or Philippides who ran the first marathon. People thought that was probably impossible, but by seeing someone else do it, they had confidence. And you can use other people's experiences and your own experiences to become more confident.
I love both of those. I'm not going to try to overshadow those with some insight that I have that I brought to confidence, because you guys nailed it. I think that if you're going to show up and do something hard, you better bring your confidence. And it doesn't matter how fit you are. Doesn't matter how much work you've done to prepare. You just better pack a little confidence, because that you're going to need it to get through it. That whatever dark spot, hard spot that you're trying to push through, you're going to reach in that pack and pull that confidence out that you know you'll get is not forever. You can get through it. People around you are through it. You've done it before. You've been there, and you'll get through it and you'll move forward. Because if you don't have that confidence, the circumstances will crush you. Like Eric Clifton told the story, I thought I was done. And he learned out later that wasn't as bad as things he's worked through in other times. So I think you need your confidence.
Hey, Don, can you tell us your experience as a young 19, 18-year-old being a Marine and what you learned about confidence being a Marine going through basic?
Well, there's no quit. There's nowhere to go. You can't punch your ticket and go home. You're there, at least at you know, when I was 18, I was intimidated by the environment. And so I just said, there's no giving up. There's no stopping. I'll just grind myself until it's done. And as it turns out, that's where you learn who you are. You find out that there's a lot to grind. And so I think it helped me, you know, with the sport. And we all, you don't have to go to the Marine Corps to find that out. There's always a little something somewhere that allows you to push through. There's as many people, there are as many stories about gaining confidence.
There aren't too many people that die going through Marine boot camp, are there?
Well, that's the attorneys will say very, very, very few.
And I'd say the same thing. There aren't too many people that die that run their first 10K. Yeah, it may hurt, and yeah, it may suck, but you can have confidence that other people have done it. You can too.
AGW, are you good on confidence?
Oh yeah, I'm very good on confidence. I think it's a great word, and I think the points go to me.
Andy doesn't lack any confidence either.
I mean, hell, I got 2,005 points. Why would I not be confident?
He killed it. The next closest was one gold star. Not even in the same game. They weren't even playing the same game.
I'd like to trade my star for 2,000 points, please.
I do need to wipe the egg off of my face because I wasn't thinking this would be too good of an episode. I had a lot of fun. Hey, and we challenge you, if you listen to this, on this weekend, go out with a couple friends and throw out some words and have your own little On the Trail podcast episode. Don't take the bottle and spin the bottle because you don't want to litter out there, but you can do something similar.
War, I want you to know that Don and I, we had a tremendous amount of confidence that we'd be able to carry this episode.
And you did.
I mean, we were ready to carry it even if you continued down this, you know, the rabbit trail of failure that you started the podcast with. But, I mean, you came up big a couple times. So I'll give you a lot of credit.
Essentially, it was a 2005 episode, if you ask me.
Hey, we hope you have fun out there. You know, not all of these episodes can we drop huge amounts of knowledge where you're getting a master's degree in endurance and psychology. Sometimes you just got to go out and wander a little bit and have some fun and get some passion back. And we hope that we were able to make you laugh a little bit on your run this week.
So go out and run.
Mas.
This is the time when we give thanks to a lot of people that support us. We want to thank our producer and editor, Ryan Warr.
We also give thanks to Yana Gibalova. She's our social media guru.
And Katie Burke is behind the scenes working on her website and doing graphics and support. Boy, she is talented.
Well, I've noticed. I think we've raised the bar a little bit with all this help, Scott. It used to be just you and I.
We also want to thank our Patreon supporters. One of the features that Don and I wanted to do when we first started the Patreon is how we could give back and make it a valuable investment for you. Last quarter, we gave all of our Patreon supporters a $25 gift card to UCAN. They were able to get $25 worth of UCAN.
Regardless of what level you come in at Patreon, we're working hard, and every quarter, we'd like to give back to you. This quarter was Path Projects.
Yeah, Path Projects, one of our longtime partners, we were able to work out a deal and they sent every Patreon member a $25 gift card. We hope to continue this every quarter throughout this year. So if you want to participate, if you want to try some of these great products that Don and I are always yakking about on the podcast, go to our Patreon page, give what you can, join at every level, and you can enjoy some of these paybacks as well. We want to thank especially our business Patreon supporter, Doug Crumley at Crumley & Associates. You can find him at DougCrumleyJr.com. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant.